Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter. And much like last week, where we had a long reading, this morning we'll have a long reading as well. So we're going to be reading the entire chapter. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And we'll read from verse 1 through verse 41. Where we'll read then as follows in the name of our Lord. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind men with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And we do pray, Father, that even as we read such an account as this, that our eyes this morning would be opened. So open our eyes. Reveal yourself again unto us this morning. Show us who we are. Show us who you are. And show us who our Savior is. And sanctify us in the truth. For your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake, we pray. Amen. Actually, to do justice to this text, we would have to actually look at chapters 8, 9, and 10. Because there's a continuing conflict that takes place here between Jesus and the Pharisees. And the conflict that we see taking place is this idea of seeing and this idea of blindness. The Pharisees had no way of actually seeing who Jesus was because they were blinded, as it were, by what they knew. They were blinded by their knowledge of the Scripture. But even though they had this vast knowledge of the Scripture, yet they had no way of actually seeing their Messiah as he was there standing in their presence. In fact, Jesus tells them at one point in the Gospel, in the 8th chapter of this Gospel, that you guys aren't the children of the Father at all. You are the children of the devil. It's a difficult thing for us very often to consider passages like this. And I mean if we consider them honestly. Because we can look at a passage such as this and we can see the miracle that takes place here, and perhaps we can actually begin to even look at the Pharisees and their blindness, and we actually kind of look at them down our noses like, come on. How could you guys be so blind? Can't you understand what took place here? Don't you understand who this is? But it's a powerful message that comes forth from this page, because Jesus tells his disciples a very important thing that we cannot miss as we look at this text. I am the light of the world. So therefore, if you are able to see, it is only because I have lightened your eyes. I have given you now the ability to actually hear and understand what I am telling you. And you see, that's a very confusing thing, and that's why I think this passage starts off in the way that it does this morning. Jesus had just left now from the conflict that he had had with the Pharisees, with the religious elite of that day. And at the end of that conversation, do you know what they were going to do with him? Kill him. They were going to kill him. They took up stones and they were going to stone him. It says in the last verse of the 8th chapter, then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going right through the middle of them, and so passed by. They were going to stone him because he made himself God. You see, that's what we have to wrestle with this morning as we wrestle with the person of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is this man that walks the streets of Jerusalem, who walks in Galilee, who walks in Samaria? Who is this man, and what impact has he had now on your life and your living in this world today? It's very easy for us to simply enter into a church building, listen to a nice, warm, fuzzy sermon that makes us feel really good inside, and go out of this building and say, well, you know, that was great. I'm going to get on with life. But that's not a good sermon at all. A good sermon, and I'm not trying to rate sermons here necessarily, but just simply to make a point, a good sermon really should leave you in a little bit of turmoil as you leave from here. Because it should make you wrestle with the things of God. Who exactly is this person that we deal with as we go out into this world and as we live from day to day? Just exactly how am I going to live my life in light of the fact of what the preacher perhaps said on that morning, or more better, probably not very good language, but that's what I came up with. More importantly, see, I got my wife to help me out. By the way, a little side note, I used to have a little, an older lady who would correct me when I first started preaching in Michigan. She would come up and tell me, well, hey, you actually used that word wrong. She was a teacher, I think. So that's kind of intimidating when you're preaching. But nevertheless, actually more importantly, is that you would hear the word. That you would hear what I have just read for you, and that it would address you at your very, in your very heart and soul. You see, because we wrestle with this, don't we? A question like this, okay? Jesus leaves from this area, he's walking along, he passes by a blind man who's there laid in the street, and he's laid there for a very important reason for him. He's laid there so that he could somehow sustain life. He would beg for his sustenance for that day. And he had been that way from birth. And so they asked the question, well, who sinned? Who sinned that this man was born blind? Was it his parents? Who's responsible for this? Who's responsible for this man being blind? And in essence, Jesus tells him that God is. God is responsible for him being blind. It wasn't the parents who sinned. It wasn't this man who sinned. It's simply by the decree of God that this man was born blind. But he says, more importantly, he said this was done that the works of God might be made manifest. For this very moment, he says, this very moment where I am walking by this man who is blind, the works of the kingdom will be exposed and shown to you disciples who are following me, and for you this morning and myself who are the reader and the hearers of this text. He says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest or revealed in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I am the light of this world. This is what he was demonstrating for him. This man was blind, yes, from his birth, in order that when Jesus passed by on that particular day, he would restore his sight. He would take clay and he would spit into the clay and he would make a little bit of mud with that clay and he would smear it on the eyes of the blind man and say, okay, go to the pool of Siloam and there you are to wash. He goes and washes and he comes from there seeing. Because Jesus is the light of this world. Does it seem fair to you that this man was blind for all of this time? Is it fair that people get sick in this world? Is it fair that people suffer and go through all kinds of things in this world? Is it fair? Well, come on, you know it's not fair. It's not fair. How is that fair? I deserve a nice, healthy body. I deserve to live in this world for all of the length of my days in perfect health. I want to be like Moses. I want to be healthy all the way to the day that I expire. But it's not always that way. Sometimes you're born blind. Sometimes you have infirmities in your flesh. And very often it has nothing to do with your parents sinning or you sinning or anything like that. It is simply the fact that this is how it is for you. And this is something that we wrestle with tremendously, which is why what I'm about to tell you is something that I myself wrestle with as well. Sometimes we have to simply accept what we don't understand. We simply have to accept that what we don't understand. I don't know why some little children die. I don't know why people get cancer and lose the battle. I don't know why someone comes to an intersection in the road and pulls out and it's over. I know none of these things. I don't know why some children are born into this world perfectly healthy with all of their fingers and little toes and their features are perfect and some are not. But I trust that God knows. You see, when you come into this church this morning, as you think about your God and your Savior, you must not think of Him in like some sort of gumball machine where you pop in your quarter and you get your little blessing for the day and you pop that in, you chew on that, and then you come back the next Sunday for the same thing. Throw that little quarter in there, boom, I get my little blessing for the day. It isn't that way. Very often, as you live out this life in this world, you will suffer, and you will suffer injustice. And it won't make sense. And you will wrestle with that perhaps for a long time until God opens your eyes to who He really is. He clears your vision so that you begin to understand that when you live in this life as a fleshly human being, this isn't the end of the matter. It is what is spiritual that matters. It is our everlasting portion, which is why what we talk about in this text is so important. All the Pharisees and the religious people of that day could see was a man who was doing everything in the wrong order. Jesus demonstrates for his disciples. Remember what it says in the book of Isaiah, in the scroll of Isaiah. Roll that thing out and read it, and you will see that the blind will receive their sight. I am the light of the world. Who have you come to see this morning? A preacher? I hope not. I hope you've come to see Christ, because he's here. He is here, and he is present with us by his Holy Spirit. And he is telling you this morning through his written word that I am the light of this world. You want to be able to see your way through this world? Well, you hang on to my hand and you never let go. Because I am the one that will lead you from one trial to the next. And I will be with you as you go through that trial. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Open your eyes. You see, all the religious people could do in this story is begin to examine this blind man. Well, was he really blind? I don't know. Let's go get his parents. The people ask him, well, what happened? I mean, are you the man who was laying there on the side of the road? Well, he looks like him, but it can't be him. I mean, because this guy's walking around, he can see everything. And they bring them to the Pharisees, because that's where you bring people. You bring them to the religious leaders of that day and age and say, and then they ask him, well, how did this take place? Well, it can't be a substantial miracle because he did it on the Sabbath day. And Jesus does all of this with great intent to destroy their religion and all of their commandments and precepts that they had built up and turned into some sort of monument that was God when it wasn't God at all. He came to destroy all of that and simply wipe it away. And this is what he tells them, which is why I say, really, to preach this text properly, we should have read 8, 9, and 10, so that you would see clearly and plainly this is the Messiah, this is the Christ. This is the Savior of the world who demonstrates to himself or to the people around him and to us over and over again. This is what I have come to do. I have come to set you free. And if Christ has made you free, you are free indeed. You are free to live in whatever situation God has placed you in. Whether you're married or single or old or young, in mourning, in joy, in peace, in turmoil, Christ has come to shine his light into this world, and that light overcomes the darkness and drives it out. The Pharisees could understand this. And so they take the blind man and they begin to question him, and he tells them what had taken place. And they don't believe, well, actually, maybe this man wasn't even blind, so let's go get his parents. So they haul the parents into their presence and say, well, is this your son who you say was born blind? And now it's hard for us to see the inflection in the words here. It's hard for us to understand, in other words, how they were spoken. Were they in spite, like, is this your son who you say was born blind? Or was that really just a simple question? Is this your son who was born blind, perhaps? And the parents answer in an interesting way. Because they say, yeah, this is our son. We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he sees, we don't know. He's of age, ask him. And they said this because they were in fear of these people. They were in fear of the Jewish leaders who said that if anybody said that Jesus is the Christ, if they were to confess that this is their Messiah who they've been waiting for, they would be thrown out of the synagogue. They'd be thrown out of the fellowship of believers. or the community, excommunicated. And they didn't want this. And so they said, ask him. It's an interesting dialogue that takes place here between the man and the Pharisees. Because they take him before him again and they say, well, how did he do this? And he's like, I already told you. I already told you. Are you going to be his followers? Are you going to be his disciples as well? And this infuriates them. And they say, well, no. We're Moses' followers. We're Moses' disciples. We're not going to follow this fellow. We have no idea where this fellow even came from. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we have no idea from where he is coming from. And the blind man answers them, and this is what I want you to hear this morning. Listen to what he says. Herein is a marvelous thing. We can be religious as all get out. We can dot every I, cross every T, and completely miss our God. He says, here is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is. You guys, who are well read in the scriptures, who are the religious leaders and the people, trust me, I've maybe said this before, but I'll say it again. Very often we look at a Pharisee and our definition is bad person, correct? And nothing could be further from the truth. A Pharisee was not a bad person. A Pharisee was an upstanding citizen who the people looked up to mightily within their culture and their time and went to with questions such as this. Well, what about this? Or what about that? How do I deal with this property? How do I deal with this money? On and on it went. But this blind man, he's starting to see. You see, he didn't know who opened his eyes yet. But he starts to recognize something here. And that is the conflict that is between the religious elite of that day and this man who opened his eyes. He says, why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is. In other words, where he came from. And yet he hath opened mine eyes. He says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, he doeth and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Who is this man? You see, very often we can be in either camp, so to speak. We can be with the Pharisees saying, it's not right. He must be a sinner because he did this on the Sabbath day. He broke the law of God. Or we can be like the blind man and say, well, you know, I've been healed from this, but yet I'm not quite sure who this man really is. But this man said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing, because this was the conflict. Who is Jesus? And do you see how they answer? Get out of here. Who do you think you are? You've been laying on some street corner all of these years, and we've been studying. You're going to come here and teach us? Get out! And that's exactly what they do. Literally take him. I mean, I don't know if they did it this way, but that's how I picture it. Grab him, pick him right up, bouncing out the door. Thou was altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they throw him out. because they see him as a sinner, but they don't see themselves in that light at all. And that's important to what comes up next. And Jesus, and this is powerful too, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answers honestly, Who is he, Lord? Who is he that I might believe on him? And this is the revelation of God, my friends. Because he says to him, You have both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And immediately his eyes were opened. You see, his eyes had already been opened, correct? He had been blind for all this time. Young people, little children, listen to this. This man was blind, correct? And Jesus had already healed him. He had smeared the mud on his eyes with his spit and a little bit of dirt, dust that he took off out of the street. And the man had went to the pool of Siloam. He had washed and he had been made clean. But now Jesus says, Do you see me? Do you see me? The man could see him standing there physically, but then his eyes were opened. And you see, this is how it is for us as believers in Christ. This is how it is. Sometimes we can see Jesus in the Word. Sometimes we can see him in a certain way within the church or understanding from the stories that we've read until actually he stands before us and says, Do you know who I am? And we say, Who are you? Who are you? I am He. I am the light of this world. The Gospel of John is an amazing gospel. Because John does this tremendous thing as he pens these words down. He leads us purposely all the way to this point where suddenly we as well are standing there with the blind man and wondering exactly who is this Jesus of who we have heard about perhaps all of our lives. And suddenly the gospel begins to resonate in our own minds and we understand and we see him not just as Jesus as the Savior of everybody else, but my Savior, my Lord, my King, my Redeemer, the one who has made me able to see. Do you believe? Jesus says, You have both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And the man says, I believe. He says, Lord, I believe. And he does the only thing that he could ever do in a situation like this. He worships him. He worships him. Which is what we do when we begin to see what Christ has done for us. When we recognize him now as not only just a miracle worker who came here from God performing miracles, but as the Savior of the world, the light of the world, who has come into this world to dispel all of the darkness that dwells not just in a physical sense, but that dwells within this person, within this being. The darkness of my sin and unbelief, he shines the light of the gospel into there and dispels all of that darkness so that Satan himself runs screaming out of my life. This is the power of the gospel. Jesus says, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. And that they which see might be made blind. And it's fairly obvious what he's talking about here. Because the Pharisees recognize that he's talking to them. The Pharisaical heart that dwells in the audience perhaps this morning as well. Who says, I see. I have all my ducks in a row. I get to church. I do all of the right things. I make the proper confessions every day, and so on and so forth. And in all of their good intentions, have lost sight of their Savior. They only simply see what they do and how they placate God and how what they do somehow makes God happy. And on and on and on it goes. Till it becomes some vicious roller coaster ride that one day I'm up here and everything is going well for me, and then I fall off that, whatever it is, that slope. And I'm back in the dumps again and wondering how I'm ever going to get myself up out of there, when all along you want to say to them, stop riding the roller coaster. Get off that thing already and start gazing on the one who is the light of the world, the one who has come to redeem you and make you his own. Do you realize when he gets into the 10th chapter, that's all he tells these Pharisees? You have to understand, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the one who has come to lay down his life for the sheep. And my sheep, upon hearing my voice, know who I am. They know who I am. He says, they ask him, are we blind also? Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But you say we see, therefore your sin remains. You see, they thought they didn't have any sin, when in fact they were exceedingly sinful. They were exceedingly sinful. The blind have their eyes open to their sin, and it's cleaned, it's washed away. The religious, sadly, very often don't see themselves as sinful. And it doesn't have to be religious either, but a lot of people within this world, they don't see themselves as sinful, and therefore they're blinded by that. The prince of this world, Satan himself, has blinded the eyes of so many people who walk around in this world thinking, well, you know, I'm actually not half bad. I do the right things most of the time. You've heard me say all of this before. Until the gospel light shines into our hearts and exposes us for just how blind we are. And the amazing thing about that gospel light is it doesn't dispel us into the darkness. It actually draws us to its source, which is none other than Christ himself. You see, when you get to into the chapter 10, I'm just going to read a couple of verses and close. The Pharisees come and confront Jesus again in the 24th verse. Or the Jews, it says here, of chapter 10. And say this, how long dost thou make us doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answers them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Hear these words, church. My sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them is greater than me, or greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, this is God. This is God. This is God manifesting himself to the world. You're revealing to your heart and to mind just exactly who he is, how he came into this world to dispel the darkness and to bring us to the glorious light of the gospel, and then tells us to go live in that way. If I would have read a little bit another verse in this 10th chapter, it would have said, I have come to give them life and to give it to them in greater abundance. And the greater abundance is eternal life. You see, that's how I can live with the question I asked you earlier this morning. That's how I can live in this world with all of its discrepancies, with all of its problems, with all of the questions that I can never find an answer to. That is how I can live, because I have the light of the world dwelling within my heart, who shows me over and over again, it's not about just simply this world. It's about the world that is to come. I am the light of this world, and I have come here to shine my light into this world so that people would be drawn to me and I would take them home to the mansions up above. And some of our beloved brothers and sisters are already there. And we just wait for the day when God will come and take us with Him as well. Because we're in His hand. And if you're in the hand of the Father, is there anything to be worried about? Does God just indiscriminately go, I'm sick of this one? Of course not. Of course not. Because He loves us tremendously, and He demonstrates that by going to the cross and dying for our sins and making us His own. May God bless each one of us as we go from this place this morning to follow the light and to not walk in darkness. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You, Father, for the light of the world, which is Jesus. We thank You, Father, that as we live out our lives in this world with all of the unanswerable questions, we trust You nonetheless. Even as Job of ancient times said, that even if He would slay me, even if You would slay us, Father, so we would trust You. Because You are a good God and a good Father and one who has shown to us over and over again through Your word just how much You care for us. Open our eyes. Open the eyes that are blind today, and open the eyes that say they see. That we, Father, all may be joined to Your Son and worship You there in heaven one day. We wait for that day, Father. We wait for it with longing, because we know then truly we will see clearly, so clearly. So, Lord, bless us and keep us. Make Your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.